Dare to dream, dream, dream. Welcome to the Dare to Dream radio show. I'm your host, Deborah Dashinger. Join me every week as I interview inspiring guests from all walks of life, all ages, all backgrounds, all parts of the world, who had a dream and found a way to make that dream come true. Listen to this worldwide award-winning radio show every week and learn to dare to dream and make your dreams come true. Sit back and enjoy, and welcome.
You can be anything, a rock star, beauty queen, fly with a broken wing, baby, if you dare to dream, dare to dream.
Welcome to Dare to Dream Radio. This is Debbie Dashinger. It's my pleasure to be here with you. And if you want to join me on Twitter, go to my name, DebbieDashinger.com. Of course, everything's spelled differently. It's D-E-B-B-I. The last name, Austrian Jew, is D-A-C-H-I-N-G-E-R, Dachinger, or Dashinger, as we say here in the U.S. And speaking of Dashinger, just before the show began, I heard from very dear friends of mine who are located in Florida, Harrison Klein and Marbeth Dunn, who are big transformational movers and shakers, and they were doing a workshop, and a gentleman came up to speak to them by the name of Jim Dashinger. So you understand, my name is not spelled like the Christmas song. It's Austrian, D-A-C-H-I-N-G-E-R. Very, very unique. And they said, well, we know Debbie Dashinger. She's a good friend of ours, and her brother, who's a composer for CBS Sport Music, David Dashinger. And he said, I know of them. I've never heard of this gentleman. So she's connecting us right now. I mean, miracles are abundant. But I'm bringing this up because the last time this happened, which was, gosh, a decade and a half ago, I had a colleague who came back from the museum, Los Angeles County Museum, LACMA, and said, I just saw an entire exhibit by a man named Dashinger, Hugo Dashinger. Are you any relation? And when she showed me the spelling, well, clearly I was. So as it turned out, I reached out to the museum who connected me with these relatives of mine in London. And indeed, Hugo Dashinger, very famous artist, relative of mine, and, you know, his life, he passed, beautiful man, by the way, beautiful artist, an incredible body of work, world-renowned, and when he passed, by the time he passed, I had become friendly with his daughter, and she sent me his artwork, which is gorgeously framed and looking at me right now. So, you know, 6 degrees of separation. You never know who's out there, who's going to be your next best, your next buddy, your next lesson, your next love, your next compassion. There are so many ways to meet people who we are connected to, relatives and not relatives, but of course, in essence, we are all one. So I'm going to be bringing on a little later somebody who's going to be teaching us some amazing methods based on his new book. I'm very pleased that Mark Robert Waldman will be here. He's authored 14 books, including the bestseller, How God Changes Your Brain. Love that, How God Changes Your Brain, which was an Oprah Winfrey must-read book pick. Mark teaches at Loyola Marymount University, and he is a world-leading expert on spirituality, communication, consciousness, and the brain. He has an international practice as a neurocoach where he trains students and business leaders. And when Mark comes on a little later, he's going to be talking about how to dream your way to happiness and success. So I want to talk a little bit about, for all of us, when somebody we love is working our last nerve, and how, when that's happening, to find a happy place instead. I have clients, as you know, I turn books into bestsellers, and I work with people in media as well. Package deal, most people like both, because besides turning their book into bestseller, they also want visibility. And because I'm a certified coach, and I have a background in also teaching dreams, it all blends in. It's a beautiful marriage of what's created. But I recently had a client, and I'm going to call her Beth to keep her a little anonymous. So Beth was working with me, and just as an aside, she said, you know, I love my family. Beth said, but they drive me nuts, bonkers. So Beth does have a problem, it's true, but as I pointed out to her, it's not with her family. Here's the real trouble. Beth made the very false assumption that when someone bothers you, the only way to feel better would be to get them to change. The unalterable truth is that we can't control anyone else. I know, it sucks to hear that, doesn't it? But really, we can't control anyone else, and we all know that's the truth. It makes us even crazier. So sure, we can act like a traffic cop. We can issue a citation for every infraction, but all it really does is drain our energy, and it creates a lot of resentment. So fortunately, ta-da, there is someone we can change. Guess who we can change? That's right. We can change us. Only by focusing on ourselves can we set the boundaries that let us live harmoniously with others. So I made sure to let Beth know, look, as soon as you're virtually done hurling dessert plates, just take a moment to sit down, get quiet, lovingly ask yourself, what is happening? Are you exhausted? Are you enraged? Are you grieving? What's going on there? So whatever Beth's feelings, she should offer her tired, sad, frustrated self. Offer herself permission to feel it and then go do something nurturing. Contrary action. I do it myself in my life and I suggest it for everybody else. You decide what that is. Nap, bath, meditate, cup of tea, vent in your journal. Find contrary action rather than soldiering through something like that. You know, when we take practice, when we make it a practice to care for ourselves, we feel serene and more powerful. So I told Beth, look, once you're feeling calmer, you're going to need to reconstruct the events that led to this explosion with your family. And it's really a little bit like finding the black box from an airplane crash and then going through the flight recording to see where that pilot lost control. And chances are that right after Beth allowed herself to express her anger and feelings to herself, by the way, not to her family, but just through the journal and speaking out loud, then she felt relieved for a bit. So what does this all mean? Really, Beth, all of us need to monitor our feelings. Learn to monitor our feelings so we don't have to perpetrate them on other people, because that's really unpleasant and often it's rather confusing. So feel the feelings not only when she's alone, but in real time. Real time as she interacts with others. And boy, is this a big lesson to say to people in real time what's going on without explosion, but in self-care. It takes practice because it's easy to get caught up in big emotions rather than to observe them. I was with a friend this weekend and she said, you know, one of the things I love about you is I can be so straight with you. And I'm like, are you serious? I grew up with not straight. I grew up with a family that didn't express real feelings. And instead, there was a lot of guilt and a lot of manipulation. And I got to tell you, for a sensitive being like me, that was really confusing. And so for me, when I have people who are straight with me, with kindness, of course, but tell me their truth, our truth, it is so meaningful. I feel loved. And I know where I stand with them, and I get what they need, don't want, all of that. Boundaries are awesome. So bring it, you know, and then it gives me permission too. It's okay when we're learning these skills. We'll always go through a period of trial and error. It reminds me of a healer I used to work with when I was quite young who said, it's okay when you learn a new behavior and you implement it because it's like a pendulum, right? You've been all the way to the right and then you learn this new behavior and suddenly you're swinging quite to the left, but allow yourself to swing because at some point the behavior becomes indigenous to you and then you're right in the middle, calmly right in the middle. So be aware of feelings as they arise. Notice the zone you're in. The goal is really speak up for yourself. And speak up for yourself while you're calm and collected. And you can use this script. Person. This is the person you're speaking to. Person's name. When you do this very frustrating behavior, I feel and name your emotion. And next time it happens, I may have to walk away for a while because I don't want to blow my top over some little thing that hurts both of us. So just know when you do that, this is how I feel. And next time I'd prefer this happens instead. Isn't that great? This strategy isn't criticism, it's not blame. It's actually taking responsibility for ourselves, our reactions. It creates boundaries around the soul territory where we're feeling some jurisdiction, which really is ourselves. So the next time somebody in your life is getting your goat, I suggest trying that approach instead, because most people will at least hear you. And it's such a relief for us to say the words. And the good news is that it worked for Beth. She went back and did that. She made the choice, and she opted for peace and cooperation. We're really all fallible human beings, and sometimes we just need a few reminders. And ultimately, when we implement things like that and speak up for ourselves rather than react or blow up or act strangely or cold to somebody, basically, we are establishing relationships that will be even stronger. So the practice of caring for ourselves creates serenity and potency. And knowing we can meet our own needs, our own requirements, frees us to love without condition. And therefore, we can stay open to love. We can drive ourselves sane, which is ultimately what we all want during our day. So that is how you can stay in a great zone. When somebody you love is working your last nerve, that's how you can find your happy place. Mark Waldman is the author of 14 books, and his neuroscientific research on consciousness, communication, and spirituality are published in journals throughout the world. His work has been featured in Time magazine, The Washington Post, The New York Times, Forbes, Entrepreneur, and Oprah magazine. Mark has appeared on hundreds of programs, including PBS and NPR, and he has a very popular TEDx talk. Did you know that there is a unique circuit in your brain that lives in a dreamlike reality of imagination and creativity? In this interview with Mark Waldman, he's going to share his newest brain scan research featured in his book, NeuroWisdom, The New Brain Science of Money, Happiness, and Success. And if you want to know more about Mark, go to his website at markrobertwaldman.com. Mark, welcome to Dare to Dream. It's great to have you.
I am thrilled to be here, Debbie. Thank you so much.
I'm thrilled to have you. And I love your body of work. I've been doing research on you with a lot of fascination. And I'm excited that we're going to be talking about dreaming our way to happiness and success. I want to start first with the idea of the pick from Oprah's must-read books about God. And I want to know your relationship with God. How did you establish God, and how did you connect, establish God in your life, and how did you connect God to science and science to God?
Well, most of us are born into the religion of our parents. And I was born into a kind of Jewish agnostic family. God wasn't really talked about very much. I went off to Sunday school. I found the stories interesting. I found the teachers very, very boring. And so when I was given the choice to not go to Sunday school anymore, I stopped. And I would say that for most of my life, I never really thought much one way or the other about God. But I was always interested in spiritual practices. So I was interested in different kinds of meditations that would alter your consciousness and everything else. But even then, I never really knew what to make of all of these stories. And you start reading about God, you find out that there are been over 1,000 different variations of what God is. There's over 1,500 religions in the world. And then one day, I'm about to turn 66 now, and I was 38. My son was about to be born. And I'm sitting there in my office, and I'm looking out of the window, and suddenly everything comes alive. I mean, the tree just looks three-dimensionally real. The fence looked absolutely perfect. The sky was absolutely wonderful. I went, oh my God, this is what all those Hindus and Buddhists must have been talking about, that sense of awareness or awakening. And then the most amazing thought came to me. It just came through me, as most mystical experiences tend to do, of there's no heaven. There's no hell. There's no God. There's only this very moment in which we live. Make the most of it, Mark. Now, I literally went from being an agnostic to an atheist, but I wanted to know, wait a minute, everybody goes in the other direction. And this started me on a 10-year quest to read absolutely everything I could on the psychology of spirituality, the psychology of consciousness. And I ended up writing and reviewing academic journals, reviewing over 300 books a year for about 10 years. And this brought me into my relationship with Andy Newberg, then at UPenn, at the University of Pennsylvania. And he was doing brain scan studies on nuns and Buddhists and Pentecostals speaking in tongues. And he brought me into the lab because I had all of these very deep meditation practices that I found very thrilling. I love to envision the sense of God, the guy with the big beard and the white hair flowing down and the robes and everything else, sending this incredible energy through me. So Andy decided to do a brain scan study of me. And right in the middle of that study, my image of God shrank down to nothing, totally disappeared. And I said, oh no, what am I going to do now? So instead, I just focused on this incredible light coming through me, and I felt so energized, I couldn't go to sleep for about 2 or 3 days. I thought, wow, maybe, wow, just maybe we captured a mystical experience in the brain scan study. But when the images came back, I had very unusual activity. One side of my frontal lobe was really active. The other part was really kind of half asleep. It looked more like chaos than it looked like integration. And I thought, well, maybe I was just on a manic high. And eventually, I came to the conclusion that I was forcing myself to believe in something that was different than what I actually experienced inside of myself. So when I turned inward, since the word God doesn't do anything for me, I could never get free from all that, all those old images of, you know, the Sistine Chapel, the old man in the sky. Instead, I asked myself, well, what is the core of my beingness? What is the core of my spirituality? And the word that came to me was compassion. And it just rang true through me, peace and compassion. And I decided to commit myself to teaching people how to engage more compassionately with each other in the hopes that this would bring just a little bit more peace into the world. And that's what has led me to where I'm at now, looking at all of the different ways in which the brain processes spiritual experiences, how it processes fantasies, how it processes our dreams, to come up with a notion that, wow, you know, our brains create this thought mechanism. It creates our awareness. It creates our inner reality. But the most fantastic thing we've discovered about the human brain is that our thoughts have the ability to actually change the structure and functioning of the human brain.
Our thoughts change the structure of the human brain. So what about dreams? Because dreams are born from inspiration. How do those affect the brain? And is it about creating them that inspires the brain to be stronger and healthier? How do dreams influence that?
Well, understand that what we call a dream may not be the same thing as what you think a dream is. A thought is a very specific process that takes place in two little tiny areas right above your eyeballs, the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex. And one side of it is always generating negative thoughts. You know, I don't like this. This isn't going to work. What happens if I run out of money? Blah, 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 blah. And it chatters all the time. There's this little inner speech going on that's negative. On the other side of your brain, there's this positive voice saying, I want to do this and I can do that and I want to do it now. It's almost impulsive. It's very much in the moment. It's very pleasure oriented, but it's also word based. It's very thoughtful. When we are focused, if we choose to focus on our negative thoughts, this has a profound effect on our brain. It actually shuts down the motivation centers in our brain. It actually turns off our ability to feel pleasure and happiness in the present moment. But if we spend too much time just focusing on the positive thoughts going on, we can get very impulsive, make unwise decisions. It's kind of like being an addict or being a gambler or something like that. Here's what happens. When we are thinking about the stuff we want to do, when we are focusing on the task, we can only do so for maybe 2 or 3 or 4 minutes. And then the brain does something very unusual. Our thought processes actually shut down, and other parts of our brain become very active, parts of our brain that don't have words to them. We are, in fact, entering a daydreaming state, a mind-wandering state. And it makes me think of the time when I was particularly scolded. I remember I was in first grade or second grade, and whatever the teacher was teaching, all I knew is that it was far more interesting to go look out of the window and see all the wonderful lights and birds flying by and whatever else, and I got yelled at. So most of us are taught how to, that we're being told that there's something wrong with daydreaming, with letting our mind wandering. But neuroscience turns all of that upside down, and it creates a whole new model that we're introducing on the university level called brain-based experiential learning. If you can only focus and concentrate on any task for a few minutes, and then your brain has to rest to rejuvenate all those neurochemicals used in concentration, what would happen if instead of trying to stay focused, we actually turn our attention to this dreamlike state that's happening all the time? It's coming on and off and on and off in our brain. Well, it turns out that when you are just observing that dreamlike state, you begin to discover that your brain is solving the problems that are important to it, not necessarily the problems that your teacher wants you to be focused on, in its own way. This is the creativity center in your brain. And it's constantly in this imaginary, dreamlike state. And if we use mindfulness, if we actually train ourselves to watch all of those strange, partial thoughts, unusual feelings, bits and pieces of memories come floating into consciousness, the more we simply observe that daydreaming state, the more we end up having more control, not only over our choices and our thoughts and our behaviors, we also have more control over negative emotions like anger or fear or worry.
Anger, fear, and worry. This is incredible. It sounds to me, what you're describing, that with these two different parts, the one that focuses on the positive and the one that actually its job is to be negative and to warn us. It sounds a bit like a gatekeeper. And you're saying the one would create a lot of impulse, almost to the point of addiction, if it had free will, run riot. And so the other one, it feels like if they are in harmony and properly working, that it's actually a gatekeeper, so we don't just run around and do everything, but we're also not stopping ourselves from doing everything. And
daydream. I'm actually describing four unique forms of consciousness. One is when we consciously focus on our negative thoughts and feelings, and we all know that. Somebody pisses us off, we get angry, and we know how that takes over our whole personality, and I'm right, and you're wrong, and blah, 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 blah. There's also the voice of positivity. Oh, wow, this is so fun. I can't wait to meet you and give you a hug and play with you out in the yard, and all of those wonderful positive thoughts. The third form of consciousness is, again, that dreamlike state that's just kind of floating in and out. It's that state that you are in right before you wake up and right before you fall asleep. And the fourth voice, or the fourth awareness, the fourth consciousness, is when you train yourself to watch these other three voices. And that's the awareness that creates this incredible enhancement of This is the core, by the way, that particular area that's lit up when you're observing the creative voices and the imagination going on. This is stimulating the insula and the anterior cingulate, which are the two key structures that are triggered by all forms of spiritual practice and meditation practice. So we're basically teaching everyone in the world how to meditate without using the M word, or the S word, the S and M words, spirituality and meditation, because that pushes a lot of people's religious buttons. But we're saying, look, you can use your own personal religion. You can use your deepest, innermost values, which is your core spirituality. That's your core religion. And you can sit back, and if you listen very carefully, you'll hear this almost a whisper. It's like an intuitive voice. And it's not always right, but it's one of the best guides we have. We listen to all of our positive thoughts, our negative thoughts. We watch all this creative daydreaming going on. And then we can actually ask our intuition, hey, give me a piece of advice. What do you see? And it comes across in a almost a wordless kind of sense. It's kind of like a felt sense. Oh, maybe I can do this. It's like if I ask my intuition right now, how can I improve this interview process that I'm doing with you? The little whisper came through with me. It was saying, hey, Mark, slow yourself down a little bit more. Bring yourself into the present moment and allow more of a dialogue to take place. I'm going, oh, that's interesting. Okay. I can ignore that voice. In this case, I'm going to honor it and turn the floor back over to you.
I love that. Oh, my goodness. So for somebody like me who teaches media training, that's huge. And I'm going to give you credit and share that with people, that even in the moment, you can course correct. Very important. And you said something when I was doing my research on you and I was listening to you speak, and you said something brilliant, and I'm going to ask you to share it. It was something about counting. You count on your fingers to have an idea of when to come in and out in a dialogue. Will you speak to that?
We call this the 10-10 game. Starting all the way back in 1992, one of my first experiments with meditation, and this was shortly after that mystical experience I described earlier, we brought together a bunch of psychologists who were all practiced in different forms of spirituality and meditation. And the question was this: what if we sat there and we put ourselves into a meditation state? Because remember, most of the time when you do a meditation, you kind of close out the outside world. You go someplace where it's quiet, and then you get into these incredible deep states. But then you get up off of your pillow, you walk out of the church door, you close the door behind you, and you jump right back into work with all your old habits and behaviors and everything else. We wanted to know what would happen if you brought your meditation practice, if you brought your spirituality directly into the conversations that you were having with other people. And so the next question became, when you did this, your words tended to slow down. You became very relaxed. You didn't speak that much. And what came out of you, you'd speak maybe a few sentences, then you'd go back into this meditation state and you'd gaze into the other person's face and they would respond to what you were saying. And in like 3 or 4 minutes, people were having tears running down their eyes. They were so surprised. And we've done this in groups of 1,000 individuals, and the same thing happens. If you can slow down and interrupt your thinking, if you can interrupt the normal way in which you think you have to be talking to somebody else, then you can begin to have a conversation that neurologically stimulates the most intimate circuits in your brain, which just by chance happen to be the same circuits that are involved with spirituality and meditation. So I was teaching one time a whole bunch of clinical psychologists and social workers who were running all of the mental health community services in the state of Texas. And in our compassionate communication game, everyone pairs up with each other. And the first thing I have everyone do is say, well, the first thing you have to do, if you want to have an intimate conversation and a meaningful conversation with anybody else, you have to be totally relaxed, mentally and physically. But how do you mentally relax? Well, it turns out that the fastest way to turn off all that external chatter in your brain, and this is something actually that public speakers are taught to do before going on the stage, what musicians will do as well before performing, is that you yawn a number of times. And so I have everybody in the audience, they listen to the sound of my bell, and I ask them to yawn 3 times. And I don't just ask them to yawn, I ask them to mindfully yawn. In other words, I invite you and all of the listeners to do a mindful yawn right now. And all that means is, notice how that yawn affects your awareness and your consciousness. And almost everybody will discover that a single mindful yawn makes you feel different. Suddenly, you're more in the present moment. You'll notice that all of your old thoughts faded away. It's kind of pleasurable. And you can't experience any worry or anxiety in this state of mindful relaxation. We also have them stretch their bodies in super slow motion, because the slower you go, the more tension you'll feel, and that's what allows your brain to relax. And then we have everybody pair up and sit down with each other, and the rules are very simple. Speak one brief sentence, staying very deeply relaxed. At the end of it, yawn and stretch. Pay very close attention to the other person's face and tone of voice, and allow this spontaneous, incredible conversation to emerge. But, and these are all psychologists, so you think they would follow my instructions. No, they kept chattering on and 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 on. And so here I am trying to teach this spiritual, contemplative, compassionate thing, and I said, everybody stop! Here I am yelling at the top of my voice. I said, you're doing terrible. And on the spur of the moment, I said, everybody, make a fist. Raise your hands in the air. Make a fist. And everyone who's at home doing this, unless you're driving, we find that taking your hands off the steering wheel when you're driving could possibly be hazardous to your health. We have to do more research on that. Lift your hands up in front of you. Make a fist. With each word you speak, raise one finger. That was 8 words.
That is a sentence. Yes.
Yes. When you run out of fingers, you must stop, period. And so everyone was forced to speak only 10 words. Not only did everybody get it, but we discovered something in future experiments. If you force yourself to speak only 10 words, an amazing shift takes place in your brain. First, you have to slow down. And second, your brain begins to search for the best possible word to express themselves. You see, we have this notion that we have to give the other person all this information before we share something important. And this is all based on a key core neuroscientific fact. And if you have your hands up, you can even count my words. Your brain can only remember 10 words or less, period.
Your period stands for the 10th finger. That is phenomenal. And by the way, folks, I mean, not only is that beautiful for conversation, for inviting a back and forth volley with people, trust me, it will open doors. We all know people who overtalk all the time, and it's actually a great way to push us away or make us feel unimportant. So use this practice. And of course, if you love being interviewed, this is brilliant stuff. This is how to do sound bites. Hello. So I'm going to use this technique for myself as well going forward, because I'm also interviewed, but also in conversation to stay mindful. When we come back, we are going to be speaking with Mark about how do we dream our way to happiness and success, a little bit more about his neuro wisdom. You're listening to Dare to Dream Radio. Get your free Dare to Dream Radio mobile app from iTunes, and the app is called Dare to Dream with Debbie Dashinger. We'll be right back.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Dane here, and I would like to invite you to an adventure in being. I've just written and finished a new book known as Being You, Changing the World. Are you one of those dreamers? One of those people who's always known that other possibilities should be available but haven't yet been able to see them be created? Well, I wrote this book for you. In it, you'll find tools, processes, and unique perspectives to change the things you've always wanted to change but didn't know how. In it, you'll find an invitation to a different possibility for a way that we can be in this world that changes not only our lives, but by being us, allows us to contribute to changing everything planet-wide that doesn't work. Are you aware that truly great people, truly being them, is the only thing that has ever created a great change on this planet? Are you willing to step up? Are you willing to be one? Check out a copy of my new book, Being You, Changing the World. I invite you to go to beingyoubook.com for a free gift.
Radiant Skincare is located on the west side of Los Angeles, and it's the best skin and body care clinic to pamper yourself. Their services are both for men and women. Radiant Skincare offers the latest in techniques and products. Your face and body are in the best hands, and you'll love what they do. Check Yelp for rave reviews about Molly at Radiant Skincare. Be sure to try their microcurrent facelift for a non-surgical, natural-appearing facelift. Go to Radiant Skincare, located at 1700 Westwood Boulevard in Los Angeles, and get the best skin and body treatments available today. Call Radiant Skincare at 310-696-9554. With rave Yelp reviews, call 310-696-9554. Mention Dare to Dream Radio and get 25% off at Radiant Skincare. Just call 310-696-9554.
Tell the world about your product or business. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. The award-winning program is syndicated on over 60 stations, has a big following, and large listenership. If you're ready to expand your reach, become a sponsor or advertiser on Dare to Dream Radio. Best rates, great results. Email at ads@debbiedashinger.com. That's ads@debbiedashinger.com.
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question, always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? BeingYouClass.com.
MyBestsellerBook.com helps you self-publish and you keep all the royalties. Even if your book is already published, MyBestseller.com will help you become a best-selling author. Your book will be promoted to a large global following. Enjoy a press release and book review. Make your next book launch bigger and better. MyBestsellerBook.com has long-term client credibility and 100% success in turning books into bestsellers. MyBestsellerBook.com.
Tell the world about your product or business. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. The award-winning program is syndicated on over 60 stations, has a big following, and large listenership. If you're ready to expand your reach, become a sponsor or advertiser on Dare to Dream Radio. Best rates, great results. Email ads@debbiedashinger.com. That's ads@debbiedashinger.com.
Are you ready to work with a leader whose clients get results? Debbie Dashinger believes you were born with a unique gift. She leads exceptional teleseminar classes and consults leaders and executives to go beyond obstacles and limits. Clients worldwide receive accelerated results and are catapulted into spectacular successes. For an appointment, go to www.debbiedashinger.com.
Debbie Dashinger's Radio Interview Mastery Program is a unique branded system that works. MediaMasteryRadio.com puts you on a fast track to grow your business and easily book interviews. Learn how at MediaMasteryRadio.com. Debbie is fiercely committed to guiding entrepreneurs, authors, speakers, healers, and business people. Learn how to leverage your radio appearances to grow your business and increase your visibility at MediaMasteryRadio.com.
MyBestsellerBook.com helps you self-publish and you keep all the royalties. Even if your book is already published, MyBestsellerBook.com will help you become a best-selling author. Your book will be promoted to a large global following. Enjoy a press release and book reviews. Make your next book launch bigger and better. MyBestsellerBook.com has long-term client credibility and 100% success in turning books into bestsellers. MyBestsellerBook.com. I love my life. I am powerful. I am beautiful. I am free. I love my life. I am wonderful. I am magical. I am me. I love my life.
Welcome back to Dare to Dream. I'm interviewing Mark Waldman, and you can find him at markrobertwaldman.com. During the break, we were chatting, Mark, and you mentioned, to tie this in, the 10-10 rule that you were discussing before our break can be used in many different ways, including a game for children and also for tough business deals. Do you want to address that for us so we can use it in different factions in our life?
Yes. As a training exercise, I recommend that you pair yourself up with three different people and just teach them the simple word. Raise your hands. Count out your words on your fingers. When you run out of 10 fingers, try to stop. If you have to go further, you are allowed another 10 fingers, another 10 words. And that's what we call the 20-word rule. If you limit yourself to these 10 to 20 words and you have a conversation with one of your kids, they will hold you to it. You'll want to go over. They don't. They can speak very clearly. In 10 words. And the cool thing is that you create an egalitarian situation with your kid. They get to speak as much as you speak. You don't overspeak them. You don't bore them to death. Your brain can only remember about 10 words of what you said. And you can solve issues with your kids in about 20 minutes. And the same thing holds true in the business community. This is why I teach this at Loyola Marymount University's MBA program. If you have a problem and a conflict that you need to deal with, or you have to lay out a business plan, if you and the members of your team or the members of your family or your employee agrees to speak for no more than 20 words and keep alternating, you can lay out an entire program that would normally take maybe 3 or 4 days in 20 or 30 minutes.
Okay, wait. So there you are, tough business situation. You have just made a pact with the folks at the round table, or maybe it's just you and somebody else business-wise, and you say 20 words each, and we're going to hammer this out together. Maybe that's a tough word. We're going to lay this out together. And literally, you speak your 20, take a breath, and you allow the next person to speak their 20, and back and forth, and you have seen that people actually move their business forward and create a good deal?
We even teach this to mediating attorneys. And so you take two people who hate each other, who are going through a divorce. They only get to speak one sentence. The other person speaks one sentence. The attorney, who's expert at it, will speak their one sentence. And you can force both parties into a mutual agreement in about 20 minutes as opposed to the 2 or 3 hours with four attorneys present. So do the math. It's very simple. Again, remember that if your brain can only remember about 10 words, you're wasting your time speaking more. So you force yourself into this unusual situation. Your brain selects great words. You stay on top of each other. If I say 10 words to you and I pause, in your response, I'll know whether you followed me or not or understood me.
Wow. This is very interesting. I love this idea, and I'm going to use it in a lot of relationship situations and just see. I may even practice it with my mother, who's an over-talker. We're going to have a meal coming up here soon, and it would be really fun to tell my mom, you have 20 words, and then you volley it back to me. And
Don't say that. If you tell her she has 20 words, she's going to go 40. Tell her she has 10 words. Make sure she holds up her hands, counts off the finger, do it playfully. But then if you absolutely must go over, you can go another 10 fingers or words.
This is brilliant stuff. This could change the course of relationships big time. Wow. Feeling heard is very big.
This is being taught now around the world by conflict resolution mediators, like in the Middle East, for example. They're bringing together groups of people who normally have a lot of suspicion towards each other. And the other key elements of this is, remember, first of all, you're relaxing, so you're doing that mindful yawn and stretch. And we also ask, when you're engaged with another person, take a moment and ask each other and share with each other, what is your deepest innermost value? Ask your intuition, what is your deepest innermost value? And you'll get words like kindness, compassion, integrity, caring. And if you anchor yourself to that word, that too will improve the communication process between you and anybody else.
Anchor yourself to a word. We're going to a break, but I do want to ask you this very briefly. How can we dream our way to happiness and success?
That is absolutely the simplest thing in the world to do, and all you need is a piece of paper. And you close your eyes first, and you give me one of those great mindful yawns and mindful stretches, and then you ask your intuition, what is happiness to me? And the very first thing that pops into your mind, write it down. So I'll just play the game with you, Debbie. What's the first thing that pops into your mind when I ask you to dream about happiness? And you have to do so in 10 words or less.
Living an abundant, free life on my own terms.
So now you say that back to yourself. Live an abundant, free life on my terms. That was great. That was 8 words. Then what you do is that you savor what you just said. And I like to ring a mindfulness bell for that. And you take a moment and you sit with the intuitive thought that comes up and just see how it makes you feel. But we don't just stop there. I'm going to ask you, Debbie, to ask your intuition again. Come up with something brand new and different, another deep inner sense of what would bring you profound happiness, satisfaction, well-being. First thing that pops
connection.
Into your
mind. Connection.
Turn that into a 10-word sentence.
Love and connection fill my heart and soul.
So what you do, you write it down, because when you're in this mindful state of being in the present moment, you'll forget all of this later on. The nice thing about being in this present moment, notice that it's impossible for you to focus on any of your old worries, fears, and doubts. We even tend to run over on radio interviews when I get the interviewer to do this. We forget about time. It all fades away. So you want to write it down. So after you have a list of 4 or 5 of these things, then you meditate on that whole list. You gaze at them, and 1 or 2 of them will stand out really strongly. So again, I'll ask you and the entire audience, think the first thing that pops in your mind, even if it's something like ridiculous, like I want to keep a gorilla in my refrigerator. So if you get stuck and nothing comes into your intuitive, creative, daydreaming, dreamlike state, make something silly up like that, and that will free up the neural circuits of creativity. So one more time, ask for something totally new, deep, something that will even surprise you, Debbie, about what will bring you profound happiness, success, and well-being.
Yeah, so clear. I really want to travel the world. I really want to meet indigenous people.
And now you can write that down and you savor it. Anytime you have a little insight that comes to you through your imagination or your daydreaming-like state, you want to sit with it. You want to let it flow through you. Because if it doesn't have a strong enough positive feeling sense, a sense of pleasure, your brain won't be motivated to seek that long-term goal. And in your case, with these 3 things, if you wrote them down, you can do all 3 as you travel to indigenous lands. Allow yourself, immerse yourself in looking for that sense of connection. And you can even repeat the word connection, connection, connection when you're interacting with somebody who may have a cultural system and a value system that's so deeply different from you that you have anxiety. But if you focus on the word connection, you'll feel more connected. That will come across in your facial expression and your tone of voice, and that will cause the other person to neurologically connect with you, whether they want to or not.
Oh, boy. Well, people, connection, connection, connection. Stay connected with us. You can write me about this radio show at daretodreamradio@gmail.com. We'll be back with more with Mark Robert Waldman. Stay with us. We'll be back soon.
What would you say if I told you that you could change your life in only 1 hour and all while lying down relaxing? Thousands of people all over the world have. What am I talking about? It's called Access Consciousness The Bars. The Bars is an energetic body process that contains 32 different points on your head that, when run, assist you in releasing decisions about any area of your life that you have made solid and, as a result, cannot change. The Bars is the first class in Access Consciousness, a dynamic set of tools and information designed to transform any area of your life. When you have a Bars session, the worst that can happen is you feel like you had a fantastic massage. The best thing that can happen is your whole life could change. Go to accessconsciousness.com today to find a facilitator, to schedule a private session, or to find a Bars class in your area. Are you willing to give yourself an hour to change your life?
Radiant Skincare is located on the west side of Los Angeles, and it's the best skin and body care clinic to pamper yourself. Services are for men and women. Radiant Skincare offers the latest in techniques and products. Your face and body are in the best hands. You'll love what they do. Check Yelp for rave reviews about Molly at Radiant Skincare. Be sure to try their endermology treatments. They are cellulite treatments. That's their specialty. Endermology reduces your body's dimpling and fat accumulation. It beautifully contours and smooths out any cellulite and fatty areas on your body. Call Radiant Skincare at 310-696-9554. Go to Radiant Skincare, located at 1700 Westwood Boulevard in Los Angeles, and get the best skin and body treatments available today. With rave Yelp reviews, call 310-696-9554. And mention Dare to Dream Radio to get 25% off. That's Radiant Skincare at 310-696-9554.
Radio sells with immediacy. Radio sells everywhere. Radio is the cost-effective medium. Go to ads@debbiedashinger.com. Reach is nice, but frequency is better. You're always on the front page with Dare to Dream Radio. It's an award-winning program syndicated on over 60 radio stations. Advertise and sponsor the Dare to Dream Radio show for optimal advertising results. Email ads@debbiedashinger.com.
What if you really do change molecules by your interaction with them? What if the change you've been looking for is right before your eyes? What if the uncomfortableness that comes with difference could be fun? What if the closed-minded people of the world no longer determined our world? What if gratitude trumps judgment every time? What if your kindness healed the world? What if the earth is asking for your help? And what if you had the resources to give it? This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Picasso, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Aristotle all knew to be true. Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything changed for me. What if there are no dumb questions, or any question too large? What if you, being you, are the gift and the change this world requires? Is now the time? For more questions to create a change in your world, sign up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. My gift to you, beingyouclass.com.
When you walk through the world truly being you, everything and everyone is invited to change. Join Dr. Dane here throughout 2016 in his unique classes on being you. Whether you've been asking for something greater, looking for a way to change your life, or longing to change the world, Dr. Dane's Being You classes crack open a world of ease, joy, and possibilities. For a list of Dr. Dane here's upcoming classes and resources on being you, go to www.beingyouclass.com.
Radio sells with immediacy. Radio sells everywhere. Radio is the cost-effective medium. Go to ads@debbiedashinger.com. Reach is nice, but frequency is better. You're always on the front page with Dare to Dream Radio. It's an award-winning program syndicated on over 60 stations. Advertise and sponsor the Dare to Dream Radio show for optimal advertising results. Email ads@debbiedashinger.com.
What books are you reading? Are you ready for a must-read? Winner of the Inspirational Book of the Year Award and International Bestsellers, Dare to Dream, This Life Counts by Debbie Dashinger, as well as the acclaimed Wisdom to Success, The Surefire Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams. Buy the books from Amazon today. U.S. Book Review and Writer's Digest said these are critics' picks. By Debbie Dashinger, Dare to Dream and Wisdom to Success contain gems to live your life by.
Talk radio is the most effective way to promote a book, business, product, or personal story. Done correctly, radio interviews will open doors. MediaMasteryRadio.com offers training and media strategy. At MediaMasteryRadio.com, learn to message yourself. Get results when you are interviewed, such as sales, followers, speaking gigs, and new customers. Programs, products, workshops, and private sessions at MediaMasteryRadio.com.
What is forgiveness like in your life? Is there someone right now that you need to forgive? Project Forgive is changing all that, teaching you how to skillfully forgive and finally get that freedom. Go to www.projectforgive.com. It's time you freed yourself and freed your dream. You're listening to Dare to Dream.
Welcome back to Dare to Dream. This is Debbie Dashinger. And Mark, this is Dare to Dream Radio. What are you next, Dare to Dream? Your future dreams and goals? What are they?
I think my biggest dream at the moment is to train 12 students twice a year in what I call neurocoaching, which is a way in which you guide a client into this deep state of relaxation. You're dialoguing with your client using this compassionate communication strategy that I've been describing. And we have found that you can take almost any single issue, and if you remain deeply relaxed and both you, the client, and the coach are in this mind-wandering, daydreaming, intuitive state, you can solve virtually any problem or issue you have in one or two sessions. And so what I'm very excited about is that these neurocoaching strategies have been shown to be so effective that we're now working with the Wounded Warrior Foundation here in Los Angeles. Because if you stay in this incredibly deeply relaxed state, in a pleasurable state of awareness, and you slowly unfold a traumatic memory, in just a couple of sessions, we may have the most effective means for helping people with severe traumas and childhood abuse let go of these incredibly disturbing memories that can interfere with so many parts of our lives. So I'm very excited for us to see how we develop this program with combat vets.
Beautiful. So folks, if any of you out there are interested, again, he's training 12 students two times a year through neurocoaching, and you can find out more about him at markrobertwaldman.com. Mark, thank you so much for coming on Dare to Dream today.
Oh, it's been a real pleasure, and I'm happy to come back anytime you'd like.
Great, and we will do so. So much more to explore. Well, I end today's show with this quote from Mark Waldman. By shifting back and forth between conscious decision-making and creative imagination, you improve the cognitive functioning of your brain in ways that allow you to make better decisions. You can subscribe to my inspirational YouTube videos at youtube.com/debontheradio. And if it's time for you to become a best-selling author, time to learn how to get booked on radio and get really big results, go to mybestsellerbook.com. It is a guaranteed service. Time to get your message out there. Thanks for joining me on Dare to Dream today.
To contact the award-winning syndicated Dare to Dream radio show, go to debbiedashinger.com. Keep your excellent feedback and comments coming. Your host, Debbie Dashinger, is an expert at goal achievement, a media personality, an international best-selling author, and a keynote speaker. Debbie leads high-quality teleseminars on how to achieve goals, how to be a self-published best-selling author, and how to get booked on radio. All classes are at DebbieDashinger.com. Debbie's best-selling books are Dare to Dream, This Life Counts, sold on Amazon, and her second book, Wisdom to Success, The Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams, sold online at all bookstores. Tune in again to hear the next inspiring interview guest who has turned their vision into a successful reality. Want more support in making your dreams come true? Go to DebbieDashinger.com. That's www.DebbieDashinger.com. You'll see videos, MP3s, archived interviews, and amazing products, sharing the secret steps to making your dreams come true. Remember to dream big with every expectation that your dream will become real. Dreams are free, so free your dreams. What do you dare to dream?
Here I'm standing now, waiting for my time to be all that I can be. It's so easy to forget, life is in my hands, and I can change it if I want. Nothing's impossible.